Praise you, Lord. Thank God. God is such a good God. Isn't He? Isn't it just good to know Him? I tell you what, just getting up, you have a beautiful day like this. Get to come and celebrate Mother's Day and join together with church family. But you know what? You didn't know the Lord. It could be that beautiful out there, but you could be dark on the inside and just you don't know where you're going. Your life isn't in perspective because you don't know the Creator. I mean, we are blessed here this morning. Do you know it? If you are thinking, well, I don't know because this and this is out of place, let me tell you, if you know Jesus, you're blessed. You've already won the big battle. Like I was just hearing somebody say just recently, Satan's perfect will for you is for you to die and go to hell. And you already missed it. You already missed Satan's perfect will for you. You already blew right past that one. Right? So he can't do that. Now, if he'll try to get you to focus on the wrong things and to look past the fact of what Jesus has done for you and all the things he's bought and paid for you, try to get you miserable because he already knows he can't get you to go where he wanted you. But if he can make you miserable and get you ineffective, that's what he's going to try to do next. So I'm not going to go with any of his will. How about you? I think we'll just go on with God and we're going to enjoy this beautiful day and we're going to enjoy life, and because we know him and we can be thankful and we can truly just enjoy days like this. We can really enjoy them for everything that they really are, because we know the Father, because we know the Creator. We're not looking to things or even other people or material things or food or any of these things to make us happy. We can put those things in their proper place and really enjoy them because we know the one who gives life. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, why don't you turn over to Proverbs 22:6? It is Mother's Day, and we're going to speak a few words directly to mothers, but to all of us, but as well, but specifically to mothers. Proverbs 22:6. Praise God. You ladies in here that are mothers, grandmothers, you are blessed. You know the Lord. You know Jesus. You are a blessed woman. And your children are blessed because they have a godly mother. Amen? Proverbs 22:6. Are you there? It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I want to read you that. Look on your scripture sheet there. We have that in a few other translations. Proverbs 22:6. It says, direct your children onto the right path. And when they are older, they will not leave it. Is that the word of God or not? Is God faithful? Is this the word of God? So is this truth? Is this a promise from Almighty God? Yes, it is. So you can take this to the bank. You can take it to the Lord and say, you said. And you can stand on this. Direct your children onto the right path. And when they are older, they will not leave it. Look at this in the Living Bible. Teach a child to choose the right path. I like that. Because, you know, we are all choosing something. I know society has made it really... you know, they talk about everything's basically not your fault. There's some reason, some outside reason why you do what you do. That's not biblical. The Bible says, choose this day who you're going to serve. Here we're saying, choose the right path. You choose. You determine. Yeah, we all have influences that'll try to push us, but ultimately we have a free will. We can choose, and we can choose the right thing. So we need to teach our children to choose. Teach our children to choose the right path. And it says, and when he is older, he will remain on it. You teach your children to go on the right path, to choose the right path. And it says, when they grow up, they will stay on it. Again, is that a promise of God? Yes, it is. And mothers have such a big role in this. Both, you know, both parents, we're not raising one role over the other. We're talking about mothers today, so that we're celebrating mothers, so that's what we're going to do. Mothers have a special role in that. Because by and large, there's different cases, they're going to be the ones that have probably a lot more time with the children or interface with the children more and model for the children these things. The father has a very important role as well, but like I said, we're not talking about fathers specifically today. But this is such an important, I won't call it a job, it is such an important role. There is no more important role than to influence the life of another human being. Because after you are gone, if Jesus tarries and everybody, you know, of this generation around certain ages up that wouldn't be considered children in here or young adults, when we move on, our children and grandchildren are going to still be going. So your choices and what you taught your children to choose, taught your children to do, will live past you, will keep living on. And for their children. They're for their children's children. And on it goes. And it keeps expanding. You can change the world because of what you do. And moms, you have such an important role. There are so many things that are glorified above this. And we have to be careful we don't get caught up in the way the world is going. And it's just constantly go, 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 go. Do this. This is important. This is important. This is important. And we can drop the very things and that we should be focusing and miss opportunities that we have daily to do exactly what this word is talking about, training. Training is not just a one-off thing. In other words, you don't get trained like that. Well, I took an hour of training. Well, okay, you might have taken an hour of training in an area, but that's probably not it. If it's anything substantial, you don't become an expert in an hour. You could become maybe an expert in some things in an hour, but they're not very substantial. You know, and when we're talking about modeling or molding a child and training them, that doesn't happen like this. Well, I know all that. I heard this training, so I'm done. I've watched the video or the DVD or Blu-ray or I've watched it online, so I'm good. I know it all. No? And when you're dealing with children, how many of you know, moms and dads, you have to repeat yourself? Maybe you don't. Maybe the first time you ever told your child something, that was it. They got it. It was the hour, and they've been sailing since. You didn't have to say a word. You told them, look at it. They do everything. Now I'll just give them another hour of training. Boom. Everything I said, they just did it for the next 3 years. And then we'll catch up with you in 3 years for your next hour training to get you through adolescence. And then right before you go out to college, we'll give you another hour training. That'll get you through college. Maybe 2 hour training after that, and you're good. You're set through your 20s, 30s, 40s, you're all set. That's it. It doesn't work that way, does it? The word train, it means to form by instruction, discipline, or drill. One meaning is to form. I like that. To form. Do you realize you ladies are forming your children and your grandchildren? If your children are all out of the house, if you have grandchildren or you got grandchildren on the way, if you don't have children or grandchildren, you're not exempt because you influence young people around you. All of us influence other people around us, and you can be a light. And we're going to get into some of those things. But to form specifically in the home, mothers, grandmothers, specifically mothers, though, to form by instruction, to form. You're forming a life. Do you realize the magnitude of this? I can't overemphasize this. You are forming a person's life and influencing what they will do. They have a will. Yeah, they do. But we have a word from God, don't we? If we train them up in the way that they should go, if we show them how to choose the right path, they'll stay on it. That's a word of God. So it says, one meaning of the word train is to form by instruction, discipline, or drill. To form by instruction, discipline, or drill. Now, that gives me the image of something, you're not going to do it once. You're not going to do it twice. You're going to instill, you're going to instruct them, you're going to discipline them in how to keep on that path, and you're going to drill. What does drill bring to your mind? Over, over. You're going to run a drill, right? Anybody done a fire drill? They have the loudest system in our building now. Good night. It makes, it's doing its job. It makes you want to get out of that building ASAP. It's like, shut the thing off already. It's a drill. When this one time it was malfunctioning, and it was like it kept coming back on. It's like, good night. There's no way you can concentrate on anything. It is so loud. But a fire drill, what's the point? To get it into you so that if a real fire came, you would know what to do, right? When we're training our children, it doesn't just happen, well, once. You got it, Johnny, you're all set, you're all good to go. No, we have to drill it into them like this. Do it. And what do we have? We have every day to do it. Daily. We're drilling something into our children. Moms, you are such a vital part of this. You are drilling. Ever hear that? You've heard that term. I'm going to drill this into you. You're going to get this drilled into you. What does that mean? You're going to do it so many times that you could do it in your sleep. Do you know we're supposed to indoctrinate our children? That's not a bad term. You can indoctrinate them bad. You can indoctrinate them good. We're supposed to get them so set with what? With the Word of God, that they get out. That's what they know. That's what they do. They're away from you, but that's how they operate. How does that happen? It doesn't just happen. Every mother in the world is putting something into their children, whether they know it or not. Is drilling something into their children right now. Over and over, every day. And we have the responsibility before God and as Christians to be drilling into them the Word. And a godly thought pattern and approach. And this is so important. Another meaning is to teach so as to make fit, qualified, or proficient. So you're teaching somebody, you're training them up, training them to be something. You train a soldier. You train a craftsman. To teach so as to make fit, qualified, or proficient. And so a lot of times, it's the mother that does the majority of the training. We're focusing on mothers in your role. You're going in and you've set a direction. Now you set that direction jointly, and the father is ultimately responsible for setting that direction. But a lot of times the mother is in and out, day in and day out, going through the routine. The father's responsible for that too. But we're talking about mothers training, going through it. Going through it again, going through it again, going through it again. And modeling the Word. Look there on your sheet. Look at Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9. And these words, verse 6, it says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." Does it matter what kind of person you are? For your children. Yeah. Do you ever hear the saying, kids don't do what you say, they do what you do. Don't they? You can tell them to do something, but if you do a different thing, guess what? That's what they're going to do. Now, thank God for the grace of God. But we need to know that it is so important what we put in our heart. As parents, but mothers, it's important. You're influencing these children. He said, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children." What is diligently? That means you're at it, like a dog on a bone. You're on it. You stick to it. You're diligent in doing it. What's he talking about being diligent doing? He said, "You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them." Now listen to this. "Shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up." Are you getting a picture? "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Let's look at this in the New Living Translation. Verse 6, "And you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today." Verse 7, "Repeat them again and again to your children." I like that. Are you going to have to repeat yourself concerning the things of God? Yes, you are. Settle it and commit yourself to do it. We are going to have to train our children. It means we're going to have to drill them. We're going to have to do it over and over. But you know what? You can do it with a smile on your face saying, "This is what God told me to do. I see it in right here. He told me to train my children. He said to repeat these things again and again." Look at what the next verse says. "Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road and when you are going to bed and when you are getting up." Does that give you a picture? What are we supposed to be talking about? The Word and God, the Lord. You're giving them a godly picture. In other words, constantly, out of your family, you're modeling what is godly. I'm not saying you're going to do it perfect. None of us are perfect. But you know what? If you mess up, you admit you messed up. That's part of being godly. Doesn't the Bible says if you mess up, go to the person and say, "I blew it"? Don't think you have to do everything perfect. You're not going to do it perfect. You're a human being. That's not a bad confession. You are. I am. Okay? We're not going to be perfect. Mothers, you're not going to be perfect. It's okay not to be perfect. It's not okay to act like you are perfect and not ask for forgiveness to your kids if you mess up. What are you modeling? You're modeling the fact that, look, child, you're not going to be perfect either, but this is what you do when you mess up. "I'm sorry. I messed up there. Will you forgive me?" And then just like you do with God, you get up and you go on, you restore that relationship. And that builds trust and that builds a stability. No, you don't have to be perfect, but what does it give the picture of? You're going to make it, you're going to put it before those kids night and day for probably 18 years. You're going to tell them. And you're going to tell them again. And you're going to show them. And you're going to show them at night. And you're going to show them in the morning. You're going to show them at lunchtime if they're at home. You're going to show them at dinner time. You're going to read to them. You're going to tell them. You're going to talk about God. You're going to talk about His goodness. You're going to talk about His faithfulness. This can't just be when you come to church. Moms, when you're around them, you're setting an example. You're saying, when they come to you with a problem, what do you tell them? How do you go about it? Well, we need to go to the Word. We say, "Look, this is what the Word says. What does the Word say about this? Let's pray about it. Let's go to God. Let's ask Him what to do. He'll show you." "Yeah, but I'm having this problem at school." Well, God's at school. God is with you. The greater one's with you. Here's how we deal with this. Right? Amen. Over and over. Repeat them again and again to your children. This is a high calling. We are training them and making them the men and women that they will be. And it starts at home. We're training them. Mothers, this is so important. I want to read you something from Douglas Murray. He said, there were four clergymen who were discussing the merits of the various translations of the Bible. One liked the King James Version best because of its simple, beautiful English. Another liked the American Revised Version best because it is more literal and comes nearer the original Hebrew and Greek. Still another liked Moffat's translation best because of its up-to-date vocabulary. The fourth minister was silent. When asked to express his opinion, he replied, I like my mother's translation best. The other three expressed surprise. They did not know that his mother had translated the Bible. Yes, she did, he replied. She translated it into life, and it was the most convincing translation I ever saw. We, ladies, you're modeling your faith for your children. They are seeing Jesus in you. They are hearing the word from you. You are setting in motion the next generation or the generation of after that of Christians. And long after you're gone, your legacy will endure. What you put into those children, they are going to teach. They're going to get hit with other ideas in this world. But you have 18 years or so with them to repeat and 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 to repeat. So they may hear some other stuff. But then they're going to hear mama's voice come back to them. And the patterns you put into your family, and we all put in our family, the things, the traditions you lay down, the ways of going about your day, the routines, those are going to come back to them. You're setting a framework. Regardless if we do it intentionally or not, we are all setting a framework. And mothers, you are setting a framework in your house for how they're going to approach life, how they're going to handle problems, how they're going to interact with one another. And it's just over and over. It's training. It's discipline. It's drilling. It's instruction. I want to read you another one. It says, this is by E.W. Caswell. It says, the mother, more than any other, affects the moral and spiritual part of the children's character. She is their constant companion and teacher in formative years. The child is ever imitating and assimilating the mother's nature. It is only in afterlife that men gaze backward and behold how a mother's hand and heart of love molded their young lives and shaped their destiny. Look on your sheet at Deuteronomy 4, a few verses before what we mentioned earlier. Deuteronomy 4, it says, only take heed to yourself, Deuteronomy 4, 9, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. So moms, the first thing is you need to keep yourself and guard. You're a guard for your family. Dads too, but again, mothers. What your children see and hear, and your grandchildren see and hear. Just because the world does so many things and because certain things are presented to you and everybody's doing it. So we know this growing up because we all heard it from our parents, you know, well, if everybody was jumping off a bridge, would you jump off? And, you know, we understand that in some things that, like, if one of your friends is trying to get you to do something really wrong, well, then maybe you hear that, well, you shouldn't do that, go with the crowd. But you know what? There are things that are a lot more subtle. And it's always been this way, but, man, we're further, I think, than ever. Because we're being pushed at a different level and from more sources than ever before. In other words, you go back 100 years, think about the input to a young person's life. Well, It was going to come through personal interaction, maybe books, but there was no TV. There was barely even radio. There wasn't all these different avenues. Look at it today. The difference. Of course, you have everything to do with the internet in all its various forms, every type of mobile device. Video games. Nothing wrong with video games per se, but video games carry messages and content. Of course, just the cell phones themselves and the text messages and TV. And of course, there's not so much reading like real books now, but of course online and through different devices. There are so many inputs that are maybe even unconscious. People don't even understand that these things aren't pure in motive, all of them, that they do have an agenda. Whether even the humans that generated them know it and they have an agenda, there is an agenda to sway men. Because we do have an adversary, and he is called the deceiver. He is called the liar. And so one way to do this is to make it look like people ought to behave a certain way. Why? It's so easy now. Just put it in front of you through social, their social media, through TV, through online, through videos. This is how you ought to behave. And moms, you're a gatekeeper. Your children are going to come to you with certain issues. And we can't respond with, well, that's, of course, everybody's just doing it now. So it's okay. No, what's our standard? The Word. The Bible hasn't changed. Just because men have changed, just because society has changed, the Bible hasn't changed. So we need to diligently keep ourselves, number one, and be asking ourselves, is this the way my family should go? Is this what I ought to be exposing to my family? Ask yourself. It doesn't matter that 25 out of 26 of your friends are doing something, other ladies in the school or whatever, you have to ask yourself, is this godly? Is this what I want my children exposed to? Is this what we ought to do as a family? Because we notice what it says here. It says, only take heed to yourself, diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen. He's talking to the children of Israel. They've seen great things. They've seen, they came out of Egypt. They saw miracles. And it says, lest you forget, keep yourself, lest you forget what your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart. You can know things right now. You're solid in the Word. You know what is important. But if you're not careful, especially now, you can be distracted. You can be pushed off. Things can pull you to where you see other things over and over, and it can start to pull you off. If it pulls you off, guess what? You, as a trainer of your children, now what you've been drilling them on, this is important, this is important, this is important. If you start getting pulled off, now, well, it's not so important. It's okay if we miss this and we miss that. And now your children are seeing a different way of doing things. And they say, well, Mom doesn't really think that's as important now. What are they going to think? Are they going to just think it's important if you don't think it's important? It's going to be harder, right? He said, You be diligent to keep yourself, lest you forget what your eyes have seen, and lest you depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children. So you keep them. You keep them strong and vibrant, because you know what? Kids are not easily fooled. If we pay lip service, we say, oh yeah, God's important, God is number one in our life, but they don't see it, you can't really teach it to your children. Now, we can teach them something. If you give them the Word, God can work with that. But God's plan for us is, hey, you want it to be center in your life. You don't want to be like putting on a show. I mean, do we? No. Well, we don't want to pass down, well, you do this, I want you to do this, but you know, as for me, I know this is the right. You know, some people say this. I don't get this, honestly. But they're like, my children are getting old enough. They're not going to church anywhere. But they say they ought to be in church. Because I want them to realize that church is important. But they're not going anywhere. They don't evidently think it's of any value to them, real world value, but they're going to, now that their children are old enough, well, we ought to get them in church. Is it valuable or it's not? I mean, are we centered on God or not? Because children aren't fooled. If they say, Mom and Dad aren't going to church, but they want me to, what are they going to do? Again, they're not going to do what we say. They're going to do what we do. Right? So it's important. What we're talking about, moms, is the crux of life. We do jobs. We go shopping in life, do different things. But what we're talking about here is the center of how we believe, what we act, and what we pass on. What everything else is peripheral. People are not going to remember the details of your life. They're gonna remember the heritage. They won't even know necessarily that you passed it down. But when your grandchildren are doing what your children taught them because you taught them to do it, they won't know. They don't necessarily know. They'll understand that God is important to our house, and they'll see it in the Word, and that's just the way they are. They don't understand that they got there because of your example and because you put into those children day in and day out and day in and day out. When it wasn't glamorous and glorious, you took it seriously and took these commands that we're talking about from God and said, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. Whether or not I do anything else, I'm going to do this. It says, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather me to your people, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. God is so good. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to just look on your sheet, 3 John 2:4 in closing. 3 John 2:4 says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prosper. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Amen. Now he's talking about, spiritual children, but there is nothing more important than your children walking after the Lord and doing what he would have them to do. There is nothing else more important than that. If you were going to pass down a heritage to your children, again, you could give them millions or billions of dollars. But if they don't know the Lord, what's that really worth? It's not going to be worth anything to them once they leave the earth if they don't know the Lord. And if they do know the Lord, but they don't have a strong relationship with him, then they're going to spend those years and what they could have passed down and what they could have done with that you've given them materially, it won't be what it could have been if they did know God. So number one, so many people are concerned with the material inheritance that they give their children. They will scrimp and save and sacrifice, trying to make sure their children are well taken care of financially. But they can be destitute spiritually. We ought to look at that's the most important thing, because if they know the Lord, God will take care of them. They can do whatever God asks them to do if they know him. The money's secondary. I'm not saying you'd ignore it, but it's secondary. But if our lives are centered around what we read in Deuteronomy, where basically every part of what we do is just showing them another picture of what God is like and repeating it here, so that they are drilled, 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 so they can't help but miss it. If they were sleeping and not paying attention one day, they're going to get the next day. If they were sleeping or not paying attention in the afternoon, they're going to get it before they go to bed. And when they get up in the morning, they're going to get it drilled into them again. And again next week. And again the following week. So that they, when they leave their house, when they leave your house, you say, man, they heard it. They heard the message. I wasn't a perfect parent, but I, before God, I did what I knew to do. I put the Lord before them. I put the Word before them. And you know what? You can go right back to that first verse that we mentioned at the beginning. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and he won't depart from him. You look at God and say, Lord, I did. I did to the best of my ability. I put that Word before them. Now they are your children. I've had stewardship for a little bit. But they're ultimately your children. Your baby, growing up, moms. You know, that little girl, that little boy. You have them for a little bit, but really, yes, they're your children biologically, or if they're adopted, you have stewardship on this earth, but really, they're God's child, just like you are. Right? Your parents put something into you. Maybe it was godly, maybe it wasn't. But ultimately, you had to walk with the Lord for yourself, right? That's your children too. And we have an opportunity. And moms, you have an opportunity to put into them for the short blink of an eye. You know, missed. You got a few years and then they move on. But then you have grandchildren. And like I said, you know, you influence those after you. And you can be an example at any point to that next generation of what God is and His goodness and grace. And you can just put into them. Yeah, anytime you see him, you can put into him saying, being a witness for him, a light for him. Hallelujah. He is so good. But I just encourage you, moms, just be encouraged and just double down on that, those drills. And don't feel bad for drilling them. Did you hear me? The Bible says to drill them. The Bible says, look at this in closing. I thought I was done there, but let me just touch on this. I got to say this part. Look at Ephesians 6 there. Ephesians 6, 1. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's talking to children. But this is your back. This is your ammo. This is your support as a parent, as a mother. The verse 2 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Talking about this is one of the Ten Commandments. That it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So it says you honor your father and mother. And it says, which is the first command with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. So the Bible says that as you're drilling those children, and repeating, and teaching, they are to obey you, and they are to honor you. In other words, to this society now has gotten to be like, well, as far as respect for elders and especially respect for parents, well, that's almost looked at as you got to let them think for themselves and give them a little space. Well, I'm not saying you make robots out of them, but the Bible clearly tells us to drill things into them. If you let them think for themselves, where are they going to end up? Somebody is going to put into them. And if we think we'll just let them go and let them see where they go, that's not doing what God told them. God said to be hands-on. God said to drill them. God said to repeat. God said to do it at night, in the morning, whenever that we're supposed to be on. So you can't see the devil. He'll try to, in society, will try to make you feel guilty for doing your job, moms. You're going to keep that child in line. Well, you're being too hard. Well, you know, you don't want them to go off and ruin their life either, right? Well, I just don't. You got to be careful of this too. This is a lie of the devil. Well, I just don't want to push God at them because they might run away from God. That's a lie. Did you hear me? Yes, you could do that in a backwards way, but not really God. Not if you put God before. I know one person that we knew. They said, you know what? I just believe that you should let children just find out for themselves what they believe. This person was an agnostic, thought, well, there might be a God, might not. But I just believe you should let them. We're not going to taint them. We're not going to push anything on them. We're going to let our children just figure out for themselves what they believe. And this person was basically like, well, we just believe, I don't know if there's a God, I'm agnostic. Guess how the children turned out? Guess what they believed? They believed there may be a God, may not. They turned out exactly like their parents. Whether that person consciously did or not, what they were passing down was a way of looking at it, at life. It doesn't matter. We'll let the kids find out. So the kids just said, well, we'll find out. Well, we don't really think there's a God. Well, that's okay. That's not okay. Did you hear me? That's not okay. And so the devil will tell you, well, you don't want to push God on them because then they might run away from God. That's a lie. Did we read Scripture? What did the Bible tell us? Did the Bible tell you to say, you know, don't push me too hard? Look at it. Put your eyes back on there real quick. Look at Deuteronomy 6:6 back up there. Look at it in the New Living Translation. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Verse 7, repeat them again and again to your children. Does that sound like you're going to just, you know, just lightly put some God in front of them? No. Repeat them again and again and again. And he's saying, talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Does that sound like you just kind of throw God in sideways and hope it sticks? No. That's the Bible. Is it?
No.
Did the Bible say that if you train up a child in the way that he should go, that they'll stick there? Yes. So where does our trust have to be when we're dealing with their children, moms? It's got to be in the Word. Because the world's going to tell you, you're doing it wrong. You're being too hard. You should be light on your children. I'm not talking about being mean to them. See, that's not the same thing. But discipline, but drilling, but putting it in front of them, that's not being mean. That's being godly. You want them to know the truth. You want them to know the truth so well, they couldn't forget it if they tried. You want your voice and the voice of the Holy Spirit to be so strong in them when they try to go off and do something that they're not supposed to do, that they hear you and they hear the Holy Spirit going, you know, the verses that you've taught them are coming back and they just won't let them be stupid. They could try, but it's like they have to override everything in them that's been drilled into them over and over and over. Their training won't let them go off in the weeds. Does that line up with the first verse we read? Train up a child in the way he should go, and then when he's old, he won't depart. Why? He tries to depart, and he may make some mistakes, but the Bible says he has a hard time getting off the path. Why? Because you've been there over and over and over and put it into them. Hallelujah. Moms, that is so important. So don't be talked out of it. Devil, just if he can't get you to not do it at all, he'll say, well, you just don't want to go too far with this thing. You never know. No, we have to be solidly based on the Word and go with what he said, and then you can trust him. Amen.